we present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute, this radio game in which no holds are barred and no quarter given. And once again, we have our former seasoned players of the game, and they're going to try and talk for just a minute on some unlikely subjects that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject in any way at all. If they can do this for a full minute, they will gain a point. And if one of the others thinks they're guilty of these crimes during that minute, they will challenge and gain a point or not, as the case may be. I think if you're not sure of the scoring, we hope it'll become obvious as we play the game. And let us begin with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, Christmas party games. Can you talk on that seasonal subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Christmas party games, in common with other activities of similar ilk, are designed to cheat despair and obviate boredom. And I think the fact that they are proliferating so much is probably one of the most condemning indictments of our age. But Christmas party games are preferably with paper hats, plastic party novelties, and doves coming out of the chimney bearing a message of peace. Walnuts.
Derek Nimmo, you have challenged. Why?
On grounds of deviation. It's not games he's talking about, sort of Christmas demonstrations and then doves out of the chimney and stuff.
Well,
you ever
try
to get a couple of doves to come out of the chimney?
Whether it be a demonstration or not, I still think it could be interpreted as a game and certainly something to play at Christmas time. So as I disagree with the challenge, Kenneth Williams gains a point and he continues speaking on the subject for another 30 seconds, starting now.
Maudie Fittleworth, fun with a frankfurter, always said that Christmas party games occupied most of her leisure time the rest of the year. In fact, she said that the other time was merely a dress rehearsal for the Christmas party games. Her favourite one was dressing up as the chimney sweep and embracing everyone at great propinquity so that the black on her came off on them, much to their great embarrassment, of course. This isn't the kind of game I would recommend your playing, and it's certainly not suitable.
Well, Kenneth has started off this show with a real bang. He kept going for a full 60 seconds with
hesitation.
Yes. I said it. A full 60 seconds with only one interruption. So, Kenneth, as you were speaking when the whistle went, telling us the 60 seconds is up, you gain another point.
But I've leapt into the lead.
You have a commanding lead.
Oh, God.
You have 2 points and nobody else has any.
Oh, that's lovely. Let's hope it continues.
Nimmo, will you begin the next round? The subject is getting ahead. Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, of course, it's terribly difficult to get ahead if you haven't got one already. Because, of course, you don't have eyes to look for one with, or nose to smell one, or even a mouth to ask for one with. So let's suppose that one has one and wants to acquire another one. Well, of course, it's very much more difficult than it was, say, 200 years ago. Then one would have just gone down to Plymouth or Portsmouth and hired oneself a good wooden-walled ship and set sail westwards with a handful of golden sovereigns. When one reached the River Amazon, then one would sail up it for some time and then transfer to a small canoe. Having gone through Brazil, one would go into Peru, and there would one make contact with a local headsman. And exchanging a few beads, a copy of the New Testament, and several prayer books, one would gain his services and proceed into the bush. And there one would find a likely body containing the aforesaid object on top of it. Then one would capture the same, and severing it from the neck, one would take it home, put it in the plastic bag.
Yes, you have, because as you manage to speak for a full 60 seconds without being interrupted, which is a pretty good feat these days when the others are so clever, you gain a bonus point. So, Derek, you now have 2 points alongside Kenneth Williams.
Oh, dear.
And we are yet to hear from our other two, but Clement Freud, it's your turn now. See if you can keep it up. Christmas pudding. Clement, can you talk on this subject for just a minute, starting now?
It's fairly important to keep up a Christmas pudding, which you do by putting it into a basin and employing a number of egg whites, which are a leavening medium for this particular purpose. Ideally, the subject about which I have to talk and about which I hope to talk as long as...
Derek Nimmer, you've challenged. Why?
Repetition of talk.
Yes, I'm afraid there was a repetition of talk. As I agree with your challenge, Derek, you gain another point, and there are 41 seconds for Christmas pudding starting now.
There's nothing I enjoy at Yuletide more than a flaming Christmas pudding.
Sheila Hancock, you've challenged. Why?
Swearing.
What are you saying? Deviation?
Yes, deviation. Swearing.
All right. Well, Sheila, what I will do is, it's a clever challenge. I will give you a bonus point for cleverness, but I don't think within the context of the rules I can take the subject away. So Derek continues talking.
But you do know I'm here now, don't you?
Yes. You're not only there, but you've got a point as well. So 36 seconds left for Christmas pudding, Derek, starting now.
With the curtains drawn and the candles extinguished, I carry it into the room on a silver salver, ablaze with brandy. I then put in front of my friends and relations who are foregathered at Yuletide, and they dig into it with their forks and spoons, altogether commonly, because it's a rather messy table. And then we find in it all sorts of 10 new pence and 5 new pennies and all sorts of jolly things.
Kenneth White,
who mentions a pence?
No.
Ken...
10 new pence and 5 new pennies.
Oh, what a pity. I thought I'd stop.
Yeah. Yes, it was very sharp, but I'm afraid it's not correct, Kenneth, so Derek has another point, and there are 17 seconds for Christmas pudding starting now.
These are always made for me by Mrs. Theobald, who lives at 14 Green Hill Road.
Clement, why have you challenged?
Deviation.
Why?
It's illegal for private individuals to make currency.
You always put currants in Christmas pudding.
A very clever challenge. You can't get out of it, Derek. So, as I agree, Clement Freud has a point, and there are 14 seconds left for Christmas pudding starting now.
Ideally, Christmas pudding should be made some months before they're used. So the matured mixture is ideal on the day of action.
Sheila Hancock, why have you challenged?
I was going to say the repetition of ideal, but once was ideally, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes. One of those that Kenneth
did. He's gained a point now, saying that. You've given him a point.
But I wanted to get the last few seconds like he always does, you know.
There's no flies on you. No, I'm learning.
Sheila.
6 seconds left for Clement Freud, who has gained another point. Christmas pudding starting now.
Then 5 hours before the feast.
Derek, you've challenged. Why?
Well, I want to get the last few seconds.
So why do you challenge?
Because I want to get the last few seconds.
That's not a legitimate challenge. All
deviation.
That happens. No, it's too late.
Deviation.
Anyway, Eve, I don't know, he wasn't deviating. So all that happens is Clement gets another point, and he continues with his Christmas pudding for another 5 seconds, starting now.
You lower the basin into boiling water.
Derek, why do you challenge?
Repetition of basin.
Yes,
we've
had basin once.
Oh, you rock!
Got it, and you have 3.5 seconds left for Christmas pudding, Derek, starting
and
now.
And so I get a sprig of holly with 3 red berries and 1 green leaf.
No, Clement Freud got in just before the whistle. What? Why do you challenge, Clement?
Repetition.
Of what?
3 red berries.
No, I think it was a descriptive phrase. It wasn't repeating anything. There were 3 red berries on his Christmas pudding, so I think I'm justified in leaving it with Derek Nimmer. It's a very clever challenge. Derek has another point, and there's 1/2 second left for Christmas pudding starting now.
Get out, you big soft off Christmas pudding!
So as Derek got in with that late challenge and then gained another point just before the whistle and then gained a bonus point because he was speaking when the whistle went, he's now taken a very definite lead at the end of that round. Sheila Hancock, will you begin the next round? First nights. Can you talk for 60 seconds on that subject starting now?
These are usually rather horrible. I'm not going to talk about first nights in marriage because I consider that's a subject that's been flogged to death. But first nights in the theatre are the most terrifying thing that can happen to actors. I have a process where I have to do a bit of relaxing before I go. I have to take medicine to stop myself being sick because I am sick in the basin. Also, one spends quite a lot of time rushing along the corridor. The most extraordinary things happen to one's insides on first nights, as my fellow actors will tell. Then you have to go on the stage and look sparky and lovely.
Oh, yeah, Derek Nimmer, you've challenged. Why?
Nausea.
Not legitimate. It's not legitimate, is it?
I mean, it's all this awful biliousness all over the table. And
I know.
Horrible.
I'm afraid I can't give you any points for nausea.
No.
So that all that happens is Sheila gets another point and continues with her nausea subject for another 29 seconds, starting now.
The audience on these occasions is quite different from the audience on any other.
You challenge.
Repetition.
Well, it's a different audience. I just said. The audience on these occasions are quite different from the audiences on other occasions.
That's a very clever way of getting out of it, but you don't succeed, Sheila.
Well, you wait to the last few seconds, Clement Freud. I've got me finger on the what's it.
And they've all got a what's it to have their finger on here. Right, there are 25 seconds left for you, Clement, on first nights, starting now.
My first night happened on the 24th of April, on which morning I was born. It was a spring day, balmy, clear, and my mother tells me that the birds sang.
Sheila Hancock,
he's not talking about the first night, he's talking about the first day.
No, he did establish it was the first night after the first day in which he was born.
But he's talking about the day being balmy and springy.
You're quite right. He established the night and he went back to the day. So, Sheila, you have another point. And there are 13 seconds for first nights, Sheila, beginning now.
These audiences are made up of people.
Derek, no, you've challenged.
Repetition of these wretched audiences.
Yes, we've had audiences.
Oh, I didn't think. Oh, yes.
I know you hadn't mentioned it, but we've already had audiences.
Yes.
All right. So, Derek Nimmo has a point, and there are 11 seconds for first nights, Derek, starting now.
The first night of spring always gives me the greatest pleasure.
Kenneth White, would
you? Deviation, we're discussing first nights, not the first night of spring.
Well, I'm going to leave it to the judgment of our lovely, wise-looking audience. If you agree with Kenneth's challenge, will you please cheer? If you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? I think it's a draw. No points scored. We continue with Derek Nimmo on first nights. 7 seconds left, starting now.
When one hears the first lark sing after the nightingale has...
Clement, why have you challenged?
Deviation, larks don't sing at night.
All that brilliant, isn't it? All that brilliant.
No, they sing during the day, don't
That's
they?
That's right.
Oh, he's got it. He's done it again.
For the last few minutes. Yes, oh, it's close, isn't it, ticklish?
Has anybody in the audience ever heard a lark sing during the evening? Yes, they have,
at
right.
At night.
At night, not
at
the
night.
Evening.
All right, Clement Freud has a point. There are 4 seconds left for first night's Clement, starting now. Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
Derek has another point, and there are 3 seconds left for first night's Derek, starting now.
The first night of Charlie goes most...
Clement Freud, you've gotten again.
We've already established that it's plural, first nights.
Yes,
yes we have.
No, we haven't, actually.
Yes, have.
Yes, but when you establish it is first nights, you can talk about first nights, and he was talking about one particular first night. It's a collective phrase, but he's talking about one individual one, which is part of this collective phrase. So Derek has another point, and there are 2 seconds for first nights, starting now.
So I went into my dressing room, and the first person that came round to him was Clement Freud.
After all, Charlie Girl can only have one first night, can't it? Derek, you've taken an even further lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? A lovely subject for you, ticklish situations. Will you speak on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
One of the most ticklish situations I ever had to face was the opening of a review in the West End of London where the entire cast was being barracked by a particularly noisy and insulting member of the audience, and by the time I arrived, he cried out, "Effeminate fool!" And I walked down to the footlights and I said, "Be quiet, madam." He was forced to retreat, and thus I resolved a very ticklish situation. I have faced others. I was in Ceylon, serving with Her Majesty's forces. They were then His Majesty's, of course.
You've challenged why.
Well, when I buzzed, they were still Her Majesty's. Deviation.
Yes, he got out of it before I heard what the challenge was. I will give no points because Derek buzzed, and before I could ask him what the challenge was, Kenneth had qualified what he'd said. So, Kenneth, you continue, no points scored. 24 seconds left for ticklish situations, starting now.
In Ceylon, sitting there typing.
Derek, name your challenge.
Repetition of Ceylon.
Of Ceylon. Derek, you take over the subject of ticklish situations. 23 seconds, starting now.
I'm involved in a very ticklish situation at the moment. Yes. It's terribly nice. I'm...
Kenneth, why have you challenged?
Deviation. He's supposed to discuss it.
He's supposed to discuss it and not demonstrate it. All right, Kenneth, I give you a point for cleverness. 19 seconds for ticklish situations, starting now.
They are generally brought about by eating biscuits in bed, and the crumbs are most irritating. People have landed up in some of our mental institutions because it's driven them raving mad. Oh, get the crumbs!
crumbs out of the sheet.
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
You have different crumbs.
Yes, we've had crumbs more than once. They may have been full of them, but we've had too many, I think. So, Guns, Clement's in again just before the whistle. 3 seconds left for you, Clement. Ticklish situations starting now.
At the Theatre Royal in 1949, a performance...
As Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, he gains it another point, which puts him in a very strong second place, but Derek Nimmo is still leading. Derek, will you begin the next round? Pulling a cracker. What a delightful thing to do at this time of year.
Was it a definite article?
Pulling a cracker.
Indefinite.
Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
I must say, there's nothing nicer at Christmas than pulling a cracker. I like to get hold of my cracker between my thumb and my index finger and give it a jolly good tug. And by doing that, I can always get hold of the motto and perhaps a little banger if I'm very lucky and perhaps a little paper hat. And if I get the little paper thing, I put it...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Repetition.
Of what?
Well, everything seems to sound alike. But particularly paper.
Yes, indeed, there was a lot of repetition of paper. So, Clement, 43 seconds left for pulling a cracker starting now.
Many people think that pulling a cracker makes you blind. I don't personally agree with this at all.
Kenneth, why have you challenged?
Deviation. Nobody believes any such thing.
To believe that you're absolutely right, Kelly. So I award you a point and you take over the subject for 35 seconds, pulling a cracker, starting now.
It's given to you by the other person and you are supposed to have this resulting...
Derek, why have you challenged?
Deviation needn't necessarily be given to you by the other person at all.
In order to pull it, it's got a funny...
It doesn't matter. It needn't necessarily, but it can be, and therefore it is not deviation. Therefore, Kenneth has another point, and he continues for 30 seconds with pulling a cracker starting now.
The result is supposed to be an explosion and the revealing of the hidden novelty or motto, depending, of course, on the type of cracker you are pulling. But very often it goes into what is known as a wet squib. And they say, oh, my dingo bang. And I've got nothing inside. What you got? And then you come out with your little kettle or your little bit of old, you know, motto rubbish. Which you know,
well, as Kenneth was speaking when the whistle went, and he also gained other points on his cracker, he has crept up a little behind Clement Freud, who is creeping up a little on Derek Nimmo, who is still in the lead. Clement...
What about me? Nobody ever mentions me.
Well, you're doing extraordinary work.
One week I'll win.
You will indeed, I'm certain of that. Christmas decorations, Sheila. Can you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
I find this a sad subject because it's something that always causes a row in our family. It starts by the fact that we can never find them. On Christmas Eve, there's an absolute panic while we search every wardrobe, and my mother says she definitely put them in the cupboard upstairs, and my husband denies it. Eventually, we find these rather dusty, nasty silver things, which we hang up with a bit of green stuff out of the garden, because I have forgotten to buy any other new ones. My little girl then drapes a few nasty coloured things that she's made at school, covered in glue, usually still rather sticky. I then take the Christmas cards that have been sent to me and stick them all over the wall. If you come into my house, you'll see the remains of it the entire year round. Then I put a great big bowl of dead flowers in the fireplace. As you can see, I'm not really frightfully good at Christmas decorations, but I do my best. You can take some twigs off a tree and a pot of silver paint and a brush and...
Derek, why have you challenged?
We had a brush before.
And you can't take a brush off a tree.
Brush. We also had tree.
I never heard no brush before.
You were the first.
I just glue. There wasn't any brush.
Stand up for yourself, girl. Go on.
He's trying to get in the.
Now you shut up this time, Derek Nimmo.
Yes.
No, the first thing you said that she repeated was brush, and I don't remember her saying brush before.
Never
she did,
said brush.
Did say twig before, but the first
time
thing you...
will tell.
The first thing you challenged on was brush. So there's 1.5 seconds for Christmas decorations, Sheila, starting now.
And you.
Clement, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
I'm afraid there was a hesitation.
Oh!
Clement, there's 1 second left for Christmas decorations starting now.
Silver bells and...
Well... I hope everybody writes in and says what a rotten sport he is. Address the letters to me and I'll see that they get sent to the Director General.
Yes. Well, all I can say is that perhaps he is a rotten sport, but I do have to try and interpret the rules as fair as I can. And that was the longest hesitation you've done. It's a pity because you did go for 59 and a half seconds without stopping.
I don't care. I don't want to win. Because I'm a pacifist.
Well, don't worry, Sheila. I don't think you will this. But you have crept up quite considerably.
Oh, I'm good at creeping up.
And Kenneth and Clement are in second place, creeping up behind Derek Nimmer. There's a lot of creeping goes on in this show, as you can see. So let us continue with the show. Kenneth Williams, will you begin and talk about showing off? For just a minute, if you can, starting now.
This is something at which I am particularly adept. It means to promenade and do in public what most people would do in the privacy of their bathroom. But I throw in caution to the wind and prepare...
Sheila, why don't you...
Oh, deviation. Mm-hmm. He's terribly kinky.
Going so slow, it was more than hesitation, I think, but once he threw his caution to the winds in the bathroom, I think I must agree with you, Sheila, there was a certain sense of deviation there, yeah. So, very
deviation?
Nice. What's it?
Just doing in public what you do in your bathroom.
I make faces in the mirror.
Oh!
But you didn't establish it,
because to the pure all things are, and she's a disgrace sitting there in third in a load of filth.
The way you were going on, it sounded rather devious what was coming out, so I have to try and interpret
it. You can't assume I'm going to be devious. You can only go on what I've done.
You went for 21 seconds and you hadn't established anything which was non-devious, so I'm with Sheila, who has a point, and there are 39 seconds left for showing off, Sheila, starting now.
This is an occupation that's peculiar to the male.
Derek, why have you challenged?
Oh, she shares off. Deviation. Not peculiar to the male.
I'm talking in the purely biological
sense. She's a very big show-off.
All right. Sheila, as a female, is entitled to say that she thinks it's peculiar to the male.
Yes.
Therefore, I must be, within the context of the rules, stick with Sheila, who has another point, and there are 36 seconds left for showing off, Sheila, starting now.
If you read any book on ethnology, you will discover that I'm right about this. Birds show their tails and different displays in order to attract the female. This is called showing off. You see, it's a biological fact that men always are more resplendent than the women. That's why peacocks have great respect.
Clement Freud, you've challenged one.
Repetition of peacocks.
Did I say peacocks before?
So, Clement, and there are 17 seconds left for showing off, starting now.
This is something which people do ideally in Trafalgar Square, but also in other locations of...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Because there's nothing ideal about showing off. So it's deviation.
Will you just say that again so I can think about it for a second?
So this is something done ideally, and it has nothing to do with ideal showing off. It's narcissistic and outrageous.
Well tried, Kenneth, well tried. But Clement Freud has a point. And there are 11 seconds left with Clement for showing off starting now.
In fact, one might well say the larger the auditorium, the more efficacious is this means of projecting your own personality over that of those watching you. An aunt of mine...
That is the end, not only of the round, but also the end of the game, alas. And at the end of that game, Sheila, you came in a very commanding fourth place. Kenneth was in a very definite third place. Derek Nimmo just failed to make it. He was very definitely second place, only 1 point behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. That's all we have time for. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and we hope that you all are having a marvellous festive time from all of us here. Goodbye.
The holly and the ivy and the other full grown of all the trees that are in the world. The holly bells that come and
the chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.